The following sermon was preached Lord's Day morning at Grace Reformed Church by Pastor Gary McNamee. For more resources like these audio sermons and other Reformation-era study helps, please visit our website at gracerpcna.org. Now listen in as we are instructed in the book of Ephesians by Christ filling you with his Spirit to sing spiritual songs.
Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We're going to read verses 17 to 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. This is the word of the Lord. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do now come to the preaching of your word, Lord, which is also an act of worship on our part, certainly a gift from you to us. And Lord, help us to receive this gift in a worthy manner. Help us, Lord, to come ready to hear with open mind and open heart, to hear your word preached, and to be yielding ourselves to your Holy Spirit, that we may respond appropriately to the preaching of your word. Help us, Lord, to focus, to pay attention, and to give the preaching of your word, which you, Lord, have ordained, its due attention. I pray, Father, that you'd work both in the preacher and the hearer today, that you might accomplish your purposes in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times in the life of every Christian that they or you are challenged in your beliefs. Someone may come to you and find out what you believe and something you've believed all your life, and they say, well, why do you believe that? Then all of a sudden you may be at a loss for words. Or it may come from the world. It may come from the world in challenging you, as we are challenged quite frequently as to why we believe what we believe, especially in this day and age of ours now. And I'm sure it's always been this way. But why do you believe such ancient things? Such things that are no longer relevant. Such things that most of the world does not believe anymore. But some challenges come from the Lord himself, from his word. And such is what we have here in Ephesians chapter 5, 19 to 21. The word of God challenges us to see if the evidence of being filled with the Spirit is in our life, because he tells us what some of these evidences are. And here we are being challenged to yield our life to the Spirit who teaches us the Word of God. And as I said last week in Ephesians 9, chapter 5, the Spirit of God tells us what will be the evidence of a Spirit-filled life. The evidence is that you, who are filled with the Spirit, will be worshiping and fellowshipping, giving thanks and submitting to one another in the Lord. And notice what I said there, in the Lord. Notice to whom all these actions are to be directed. If we look back at verses 19 to 21, each one of them ends with the direction of these actions that we are to take. Worshiping and fellowshipping with each other is to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God in the name of the Lord Jesus. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. These phrases, to the Lord, to God in the name of the Lord, in the fear of God, puts all these things into a very serious context. Very serious. All these things we are called to do, we're not called to do just because we're here to do them, but they are to be directed to the Lord, and it is the Lord who is calling us to do them. When we are filled with the Spirit, It is for the Lord and His glory. So that we, you, each other, and the world can see a life that has been changed by the power of God and filled with the Spirit of God, that it may live for the glory of God. That is what God is doing here. And while last week we only dealt with verses 19 to 21 in a very general way, we cannot help but see in this passage that Paul is speaking with very particular ways, speaking in particular ways. He is giving us commands to do particular things in particular ways. And our subject for today is verse 19, which tells us, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To the Lord. He is giving us these commands in a particular way. The Spirit of God is telling us, if you are yielded to me and I am filling you, this is what you will be doing. And remember what we said last week, that to yield to God is the starting point of being filled with the Spirit. To yield to Him. To empty yourself of yourself. Well, verse 19 teaches us that God has commanded us to sing to Him with the words of praise that He has given to us by His Spirit. And what a blessing, it is to know that God has not left us to our sinful selves to create and make up things to determine how we are to worship Him and how we are to approach Him. And yet that's what some of the world and even some of the church has determined that it is to do. But we have examples of those who sought to approach God in worship on their own terms. They decided that I will decide how to approach this holy and majestic God. One example we find in Genesis chapter 4 in the person of Cain, Adam and Eve's son. Cain came with an unacceptable offering to God in which God did not receive his worship, but said, if you do what is right, you will be accepted. We don't know if Cain's worship or his offering was sincere, but even if it was, God did not base his acceptance of his worship on his sincerity. He based it on if he did what is right. We also have an example in Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, from Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 to 4, where it tells us that these sons of Aaron came and offered strange or profane fire to the Lord, fire that was not authorized. And they were destroyed by the Lord's fire. And the Lord said to Moses, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. God takes his worship very seriously. It is to the Lord that we give this worship. The second commandment of the Ten Commandments that we know says this: you shall not make for yourselves a carved image and likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. We don't pick up on that a lot, but the Lord is a jealous God. He is jealous for his worship to be right towards him, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who keep my commandments. What God is establishing here is not just that you don't worship carved images or idols, but that you only worship him in accordance with his commands. He is establishing the fact that I, the Lord, am the one who determines how you come to me. And this is what we know as the regulative principle of worship. We worship God according to what He tells us to do, and only what He tells us to do. Our confession of faith teaches it to us this way: the acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by Himself, and so limited by His own revealed will that he may not be worshipped according to the imaginations and devices of men or the suggestions of Satan under any visible representation or any other way not prescribed in Holy Scripture. Some people would say, well, that's a burdensome command. Even the Ten Commandments, people look at burdensome. But 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 tells us that God's commands are not burdensome, and it is the love of God to keep them. And Deuteronomy 6, 24 teaches us that God's commands are for our good always. Our good always. This is what we mean when we say that the Holy Scriptures are the only rule for faith and life. For every aspect of our life, every aspect of our faith, the Scriptures tell us how God wants us to live before Him. And in Ephesians 5:19 of the Holy Scriptures, we are given God's command for how we are to worship Him. And Ephesians 5:19 teaches us this, three things. God commands you to worship Him in speaking and singing. God commands you to worship Him in speaking and singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And God commands you to worship Him in speaking and singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of Christ. That's what we're going to be looking at today in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. And that's verse 19 is our focus verse for this morning. First, God commands you to worship Him in speaking and singing. As God is the one who determines what we do in the worship of Him, we need to hear and obey His word. Ephesians 5:19 is not a suggestion. It is a statement of fact that if you are being filled with the Spirit, this is what you'll be doing. We do not come here this morning wondering what we're going to do today, what we're going to sing today, or who is going to do it. God has commanded the body of Christ, being filled with His Spirit, to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's what we're called to do, and that's what we're doing here this morning, and that is what you have been doing. Well, there are many things and many elements of God's worship that He calls us to do, but speaking to one another in these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is part of that. And if we're speaking to one another, we also need to be hearing one another. As we are singing songs of praise, confession, laments, ascents, and assurance, we are speaking to one another the Word of God, encouraging one another to walk in faith and love and to rest assured in hope in God Himself. That's part of our worship, that we speak to one another with these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And God uses them, even as He receives them for worship towards Himself, He uses them to strengthen us and remind us of His truth and remind us of these great hopes that He is teaching us about. You have a role in the worship of God and in the fellowship of the worshipers to speak encouragement, hope, repentance, forgiveness, and all the other themes that are found in the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that we are commanded to sing. And just as we are commanded to sing verbally, we are commanded to hear. We are commanded to hear these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And not just hear them with our ears, but hear them with our hearts. And to be encouraged to walk in the ways of the Lord by them, to walk faithfully with Him. And so I say to you that in this first part of the passage here, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, take up your place. Come prepared. Come prepared to sing and speak to one another. And God gives you what He wants you to say so that you may be encouraging and strengthening one another in the faith. What then is the content of our speaking to one another and singing to the Lord? It is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, as is clearly stated here. And that seems simple enough. If you were an Ephesian Christian reading this letter when Paul wrote it, it would have been in your language. You would have read it in the Greek that you were speaking at that time, the Greek language. And it is in that language and in the rest of Scripture that we get the content and the context that defines what we are to be singing. And so our second point is then God commands you to worship Him with speaking and singing, not of just anything, but of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Again, you did not come here, I hope, wondering what you would be singing today. You knew that you would be singing from the book of Psalms. You knew that you would be singing true words because the book of Psalms is God's word, and you do not have to wonder, well, I wonder if the author of this psalm is getting it right. You know it is the word of God. You know it is something that you can sing with full faith and conviction. In the context of this statement that Paul is writing here, he's writing to Greek-speaking and Greek-reading people. He is using a phrase that is understood by them. Now, we have to be careful that when we come to the Scriptures, that we don't say, oh, I understand what that means because of my culture. And we often do that. We often say, well, this phrase right here, it tells us, this is just a perfect example that we are to sing psalms. They're in the Bible. We are to sing hymns. They're in the hymnal. And we are to sing spiritual songs. These are the modern day songs that people put up on the board or on the wall or we hear on the radio. And that's how some current day readers of Scripture look at this verse and say they clearly understand it. But when Paul was writing to these people, he was speaking of something different. But it's still relevant to us today. What Paul was talking to them about in using this phrase, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, he was referring to the Greek translation of the Old Testament Scriptures, which we know as the Septuagint. And often the writers of Scripture would use the Septuagint as they were writing to Greek-speaking people, and they wanted to cross that barrier. And so when the Greek hearing and reading Ephesians would see the content of what they were to sing, they would have been thinking of the 150 Psalms in the Old Testament, as we know the book of Psalms. There wouldn't have been a question of, well, where do we get this book? Where do we get these songs that Paul is talking about? They would have known that this is what he was talking about. And many of the Psalms that we have in the 150 Psalms, they even have the superscriptions on them that tell us this is a psalm, this is a song of ascent, this is a psalm and a song, this is a hymn, especially in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. They identify 78 of the 150 Psalms as psalms. And then 5 are identified as hymns, and 36 of them are identified as songs or odes. And then others have multiple designations, and some don't have any designation at all. But let me just give you an example of each of these psalms. Psalm 101 tells us it's a psalm of David. Psalm 120 to 134, a song of ascents. And then we see Psalm 6, 54, and 76 identified in the Greek Septuagint as hymns. And so as Paul was speaking to these Ephesian people in the church and writing in their language and them reading it in their language and referring to the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, this is what he was referring to and this is what they would have understood. But what about the content of these songs? This also helps us see what songs we are to identify that we are to speak to each other and sing to the Lord. When we look at verse 19, we see this word, spiritual songs. And in English, this word is only connected to the last word in that list there of songs, spiritual songs. But in the Greek structure, it would be read like this, that you are to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and songs, spiritual. And so the word spiritual doesn't modify just the last word, but all three words in the list that it follows. And so these are to be spiritual psalms, spiritual hymns, and spiritual songs. And what makes a song or hymn or psalm spiritual? The word spiritual speaks to us in a way it tells us that these songs are the word of God. Spiritual means it is produced by the Spirit of God. It is not spiritual because it deals with spiritual things. Because there are all kinds of songs that deal with spiritual things that are not truth. In the church and outside the church. Spiritual songs are songs produced by the human spirit, not divine spirit. If we were to look at a parallel passage to Ephesians 5:19, we could look at Colossians 3:16, which tells us this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word of Christ in you, along with the Holy Spirit in you and filling you, produces spirit-filled worship, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, there is no doubt that we could come in here this morning and every Lord's Day and sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and not be being filled with the Spirit. Just because you are singing them doesn't mean that you are being filled with the Spirit. Anybody, believer and unbeliever, could walk in this building and sing these psalms and not be filled with the Spirit. But for those who are being filled and yielding themselves to God Himself, the Spirit of God says this is what it results in: speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs which are spiritual, produced by the Holy Spirit. As I noted earlier, God calls to us to obey His commands. And again, this is not a suggestion. This is not saying add this to your repertoire of songs. Add psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is a command to sing these psalms and to make music in our hearts singing to the Lord. It is a command to speak the songs inspired and produced by the Holy Spirit of God. And you will never find in the Scriptures a command to sing otherwise. You'll never find in the Scriptures a command to sing uninspired songs to the Lord. And the Lord's commands are good, and they are good to you always. They are a blessing. And that's how we need to see this passage, as a blessing. The blessing that the Lord has given us the Psalms where the words of Christ dwell richly. That's what He has given us. That's why you can come in here and you can open up the Bible and you can read it with confidence and know it is the Word of God. That's why you can look at the Psalter and you can say, I know this Psalm is the truth. Even if you don't understand all of it yet, like all of us don't yet, but you know that you are singing the truth. Jesus Christ Himself said, the Psalms speak of me. These are the words I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. When you're singing the Psalms to one another, you are singing the rich words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms and hymns and songs produced by the Spirit. Thirdly, God commands you to worship Him with the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of Christ, as I just mentioned. When we sing and speak these Holy Spirit-produced psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, we are speaking to each other and singing to the Lord of Jesus Christ. Jesus quoted the book of Psalms more than any other book. The Psalms informed Jesus of what His life was going to be like. From His birth to His death, it was like an instruction manual for the Lord Jesus Himself. And just as each Lord's Day, since I've been here and preaching through the Psalms, we have been seeing how the Psalms speak of Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection, His humiliation, His being abandoned by God, His prayers being answered, the prayers of His people being answered because His prayers were answered. Him being our great shepherd, His righteousness, His exaltation to the throne of God, and the victory over all His enemies. All these things we have been seeing in the Psalms, and we have only been through Psalm 23. And we have seen all these things. We have just scratched the surface. These are the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. They speak of the one coming in the name of the Lord, shouting, Hosanna and Hallelujah. These are the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that Paul is talking about. And praise God that he has given us a songbook that speaks to every facet of Christ's life and every facet of our life. The Psalms are so comprehensive. And I would be challenged and challenge you to say, well, that I've got an area going on in my life that the Psalms do not address. It may be there, but you're going to have a hard time proving that. Because the Psalms were written for us to speak to one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen one another, to call one another to walk in the Christian faith according to God's Word, and to sing these Psalms to Him in His praises. So we get to sing about our Savior and His life experiences so that we are reminded that we have a Savior whose life experiences were like ours. We have a shepherd who knows what it's like to walk through the shadow of the valley of death. We have a shepherd who has done that, and because he has done it, he is with us. And he walks us through that same valley all the way. All the way. You think of Noah Shepherd, this pastor who just died recently. Did you think of what was happening? That the Lord Jesus Christ was with him all the way. Nobody else was walking Noah Shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death. But the Lord Jesus Christ was, and these psalms speak of him in that way. As we sing these songs, we are singing of Christ to one another and to the Lord. And if you want to sing songs that speak of Jesus Christ, then the book of Psalms is for you. It is for you. Because that's what they're about. And no other psalm book speaks of Christ like this one. And it is Christ who participates with us in the singing of his songs. Hebrews 2:2 quotes Psalm 22:22 as Jesus saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. What do you think Jesus is singing? Singing his word. Singing those psalms that speak of him. Here we have Christ himself speaking to his brethren just like we do and singing praise to God, the exact thing that we are called to do in Ephesians 5:19. We are called to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly and abundantly. And this is the blessing of God. This is God using his word to bless us. To be filled with his Spirit is to be yielding to his word, to let it dwell in us richly and abundantly. This command to be filled with the Spirit, speaking and singing in psalms, is also a unifier, even though many claim just the opposite. That those who sing the psalms are being divisive, are dividing the church. But the psalms are the one songbook that brings the whole church together because it is the word of God. And so the psalms unify the church because they can be accepted by every believer as the truth, as the word of God. Even if they don't understand all of them yet, they are the inspired word of God, and every Christian can sing them. While many man-made hymns cannot be described that way. And while many man-made hymns are beautiful and encouraging and teach truth, not all of them do. And so that would divide us. They sometimes speak of falsehoods that go against God's word, which means they are not the word of Christ. They are not the spiritual songs which should dwell in us richly. And I would just, while there are many examples of very good and beautiful hymns, there are many examples of hymns that do teach falsehood. And let me just give you one, just for an example. And maybe you're familiar with this one, Whosoever Will May Come. Does anything strike you about that? That would cause you not to be able to sing that song? I could not sing that song. Because I don't believe, and I don't believe Scripture teaches that whosoever will may come. I believe that whoever comes will be saved, according to God's grace and mercy. but not according to their own will. One commentator on this hymn said, because he liked this hymn, said, "I know now I am free to choose Christ." We are only free to choose Christ, not because of our wills, but because of God's will. That's what we should be singing. Now, the Lord is the Lord over our consciences, and some songs and some worship services could not be sung by all Christians because their conscience would not let them. But the Psalms are the Word of God, and the Word of the Lord does bind the conscience. That's what we're bound by, is the Word of God. And so God has given us a book of Psalms for singing and speaking to one another and letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. I can say it's amazing. It is amazing that the Lord to whom we sing and worship and sing about in worship has actually given us a worship songbook. He has given us a manual for singing and praising Him. And yet so much, isn't it amazing, so much of the church does not use that songbook for singing, but only for reading. I say it's amazing because I used to be there. And I can remember the day when somebody showed me, this is a book of Psalms for singing. And I just could not believe how dull I was to that truth that I didn't know. And isn't it amazing that the very accusation that we often hear so often why people don't want to sing the Psalms is because they don't speak of Jesus. People say, "I want to sing about Jesus." And Jesus said, "The Psalms, they speak of me." So while we must be patient with each other, we should be pointing our brothers and sisters in the Lord to see these truths. Such as when we sing Psalm 40, verse 8, singing, "I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within my heart." When you see those words, you need to see Jesus Christ. He claimed those words for himself. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who humbled himself and delighted to do the will of God. And we need to humble ourselves and follow him in his deeds and his commands. And Jesus Christ has given you his Spirit to dwell in you and to fill you with a heart's desire to do his will, not yours, not the church, not the current trends of the church or the world, but his will. And so the question is then, as you look at his word and as you see his commands to you, will you yield to him and will you be filled by his Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? That is why we do what we do here. But be rest assured, as I said earlier, just singing these words does not mean you're being filled with His Spirit. So often, we in the Reformed faith say, look at this command. This is what you got to do to worship the Lord. But we forget about that part of making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's not just that you make music in your heart to the Lord. It is that you sing these psalms in your heart to the Lord. In other words, you sing them with understanding and you sing them with faith and conviction that this is the Word of God and it is His praise that He has given us. So, maybe this is not what you believe today. I don't know the hearts of every person here. And I'm not saying that if you don't believe this, you are not a Christian. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I am saying is unless you can see something in God's Word that says something different, that says you must sing uninspired hymns, you, by God and His commands, are called to come worshiping Him in the way that He has called you to do, to yield to God and not to your own heart, to yield to God's desire and not your own. And Paul says here, you, yielding to Him and being filled with His Spirit, will be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which are the Word of God. And let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. For this is the way the Lord has commanded us and has blessed us to do so. May the Lord cause you to yield to him, to be filled with him, and to be blessed by him. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We know, Lord, that your word sometimes brings to us great challenges and challenges our hearts in ways that we are not used to. We've all experienced that. Father, whatever it may be that you're doing that with us, we pray, Lord, that you would cause us to yield to you, to yield to your truth, and find our greatest blessing in that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.